Any of you like being accused? That just isn't any fun, is it? When someone accuses you of doing something, especially if you haven't done it. I mean, it's one thing to be accused of doing something if you did it. Because then you know that there's a little confirmation there about, well, yeah, I did do that. But if you're accused for doing something that you did not do, oh, it just pains you, doesn't it? It really hurts. And our tendency is to first stand up for ourselves. Hey, wait a minute. No, that ain't right. Stephen, in the book of Acts, gives us just this really great example of how we should act when adversity comes. We're going to go through Acts chapter 7 today. And yeah, that's a whole lot of verses. And you got to understand, I was just really wrestling with how do I present this? I mean, there's a lot of material here. Do I break it down? And I thought, no, you know, this whole thing is recorded by Luke. Of everything that Stephen said as he's brought into the court of the Sanhedrin, and he's being accused by these paid liars. I mean, it's one thing to have people say something about you, but to think that they're profiting by lying about you, that's even wronger. Wronger? Okay, maybe it's just bad, bad. Bad, bad. No, and bad is not on your sheet, kids. Don't. Just because I repeated that does not mean it's there. So, the longest sermon in the whole book of Acts is right here in chapter 7. And it's Stephen. The only other long preaching sermon was done by Jesus. And that was recorded for us in the Gospels. In the book of Matthew, as a matter of fact, starting with chapter 5 and going to chapter 7, Jesus just really pours out teaching to people. Well, in the same way, Stephen, who's been falsely accused, these witnesses said what about him? That he was speaking against the holy temple and against the laws of Moses. And so here's Stephen. Some people said, well, they asked me, well, Pastor, didn't Stephen ever stand up for himself? And I said, yeah, don't get ahead of us. That's in the next chapter. So pay attention and keep coming to church. That way you get the whole story. So then the high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? This was Stephen's reply. Listen to the respect that he gives. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Does he speak about those who are accusing him? Does he try to undermine their reputations or the fact that their pockets have been profited by speaking against him? No. No, Stephen goes right to the respect of brothers and fathers. Oh, and by the way, adults. Inside the bulletin is an outline. And I thought that I did a really good outline. And then God and I had this falling out last night. And he says, you know, that's not bad work, but it's not the best work. And so I was really confused last night. My wife can attest to it. I mean, I was sitting down on my back swing just going, Lord, I'm really confused. What am I supposed to preach today? And he says, just preach my word, Don. Just preach my word. I'm going, but God, that's pretty lame for me to just go through and read a chapter. I mean, they can do that. Yeah, but as my spirit touches you, you'll add things in there. So just read my word. So I have to obey my God. Is it better for me to observe the laws of men or God? Thank you. Good answer. Good answer. So you'll have to follow along and look at your outline, because the answers are going to be coming out of this reading. So this was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia, also known as the land of the Chaldeans. The land of the Chaldeans. Get it, kids? And notice something else that Stephen does here. See, he's trying to connect with the Sanhedrin. He says, our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in the land of the Chaldeans. Before he settled in Haran, God told him, leave your native land. Leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to the land where you now live. The land where you now live is, he's speaking to the Sanhedrin. And I repeated that. That is not an answer on your sheet. But he's trying to connect again to the Sanhedrin, that God brought him here to the land where you now live. God gave him no inheritance here, not even one square foot of land. God did promise, however, that eventually the whole land would belong to Abraham and his descendants, even though he did not have any children yet. God also told him that his descendants would live in a foreign land. They would live in a foreign land where they would be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. You see, God told Abraham that ahead of it even happening. So God is giving prophetic word here to Abraham. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, God said. And in the end, they will come out and worship me here in this place. God also gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision at that time. So when Abraham became the father of Isaac, he circumcised him on the eighth day. And the practice was continued when Isaac became the father of Jacob, and when Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs of the Israelite nation. These patriarchs were jealous of their own brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. They sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles, and God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom, so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. Now, as you're hearing this, and as maybe you've read this passage before, you kind of look at this and you go, why is Stephen so bent on giving a history lesson to the Sanhedrin, who know the scriptures ever so well? I will give you that answer later. Let it haunt you in the back of your minds. But a famine came upon Egypt and Canaan. There was great misery, and our ancestors ran out of food. Jacob heard that there was still grain in Egypt, so he sent his sons, our ancestors, to buy some. See, Stephen connecting again. The second time they went, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, and they were introduced to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent for his father Jacob and all of his relatives to come to Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Jacob went to Egypt. He died there, as did our ancestors. Their bodies were taken to Shechem and buried in a tomb that Abraham had bought for a certain price from Hamor's sons in Shechem. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes, and his parents cared for him at home for 3 months. And when they had to abandon him by putting him in a river, that was Moses who was put into a river. We're going to see if they got that or not. Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. And Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was powerful in both speech and action. Now, think about that. Moses was powerful in speech and in action. And yet, when he stood before the burning bush, what did he tell Jesus that he had? He's got a speech impediment, a stuttering problem. And yet here he was in Egypt, and he was powerful in speech and action. So the man that God finds out in the wilderness is a broken man, a man whose dreams have been dashed, and now he finds himself with all of this education, with all this wisdom, with all this power in speech and in action, dwindled away, just overlooking a bunch of stupid sheep. And he's not seeing his potential here. And yet, he's happy to just keep going on. He has a family out there, and he just... But then something happens. One day when Moses was 40 years old, how old? 40 years old. He decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them. But they didn't. And the next day he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. "Men," he said, "you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other?" But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Whoa. When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There his two sons were born. 40 years later, in the desert near Mount Sinai. So he was 40 years old when this happened. Now he's a good math. Good job. Strong math skills. He is now 80. He's in the desert near Mount Sinai. Is that a particular place in the wilderness? The very same mountain that Moses later on will go to receive the law. But here he is at a desert, Mount Sinai, and an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he went to take a closer look, the voice of the Lord called out to him, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel." Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt. So God sent back the same man his people had previously rejected when they demanded, "You made him ruler and judge over us. Who made you ruler and judge over us?" Through the angel who appeared to him in the burning bush, God sent Moses to be their ruler and savior. And by means of many wonders and miraculous signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. How long did Moses lead the people in the wilderness? He was 80 when he heard from the burning bush. He is now, your math skills are excellent. He is 120 years old. Moses himself told the people of Israel, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people." Moses with our ancestors. The assembly of God's people in the wilderness when the angel spoke to him at Mount Sinai. And there Moses received life-giving words to pass on to us. Do you see what Stephen is doing so far in his arguments? He is taking the Sanhedrin back to the fact that Abraham, our descendant, you see, he was speaking as a very Jewish believer himself. He was speaking about Joseph and about Jacob, whose name is really Israel, because from him came all the 12 tribes of the Israelite nation. Jacob, "Yes, Lord, you shall be called Israel from here on out." And by the way, here's a nice hip thing so you can look like Sharon when you walk. So he inflicted Jacob because Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night long. But here he is. He's now speaking about Moses. And he understands that it's Moses who gave the life-giving words to pass on to us. And those words were the law. So in other words, he is not disassociating himself with Moses as those who had said he was doing, those who lied about him. They said, "You were profaning Moses and the law," and he's not doing that. In his own testimony, he is testifying of his love and adoration for what Moses, his ancestor, was given. And then he throws this out to them. "But our ancestors refused to listen to Moses. They rejected him and wanted to return to Egypt. They told Aaron, 'Make us some gods who can lead us, for we don't know what has become of this Moses who brought us up out of Egypt.' So they made an idol shaped like a calf, and they sacrificed to it and celebrated over this thing they had made. Then God turned away from them." Some of the saddest words. God turned away from them and abandoned them to serve the stars of heaven as their gods. In the book of the prophets, it is written, "Was it to me you were bringing sacrifices and offerings during those 40 years in the wilderness, Israel? No. You carried your pagan gods, the shrine of Moloch, and the star of your god Raphan, and the images you made to worship them. So I will send you into exile as far away as Babylon." God has just rescued them from their bondage to sin, being in Egypt. That's what Egypt stands for. It's bondage to sin. He had just rescued them, and Moses was a type of savior, a rescuer, who came to perform miracles and wonders and bring the people of God out from the bondage of sin. And yet, what happened? Where were the hearts of the people? They wanted to worship the gods of that land. They wanted to return to sin and bondage. If you were free as a slave, why would you want to go back and be in bondage? If you are free from the sin that used to ravage your life and wreak havoc with you, because sin has three outcomes: to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what sin ruling in your life will lead you to. But Jesus Christ has said, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. So why worship the sin? Instead, let go of that past life and instead step into a new life that I have provided for you. Through my blood, you are saved from your sins. But that doesn't mean that you go back and wallow in the mud again. Oh, Jesus, forgive me again. Oh, Jesus, please forgive me. Wait a minute, didn't I already forgive you of that sin? Well, yeah, but I'm so weak to it. Don't you have my spirit living in you? Well, yeah, that's what the pastor told me. Then why are you subject to sin again? My choice? My bad. You're right. I'm going to surrender myself to you, Jesus. Just as we sang. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Who you love, I'll love. But Stephen reminds the Sanhedrin, they refused to listen to Moses. They rejected him and wanted to return to Egypt. Our ancestors carried the tabernacle with them through the wilderness. It was constructed according to the plan God had shown to Moses. And years later, when Joshua led our ancestors in battle against the nations that God drove out of this land, the tabernacle was taken with them into their new territory. And it stayed there until the time of King David. David found favor with God and asked for the privilege of building a permanent temple for the God of Israel. But it was Solomon who actually built it. However, the Most High doesn't live in temples made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? Asked the Lord. Could you build me such a resting place? Didn't my hands make both heaven and earth? You stubborn people. You're heathen at heart, and you're deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. I mean, Stephen is on the attack right now, right? So much for the history lesson. Now Stephen is going, I am in your face and standing on your shoes. I'm on your toes, pushing you back. Here it is. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. Well, the Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. You see, this is where Stephen's defense rocks. His accusers took off their coats and they laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they stoned him, listen to the grace of Stephen. Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Where have we heard those words before? Jesus on the cross, right? "Lord God, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." What did Jesus say from the cross? "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And in the same spirit, Stephen speaks up. "Don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died.